Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to our March 17th Lafayette Public Library Board of Control meeting. If everyone would please rise here in a moment, I'm going to do roll call. We have Ms. Ella, Ms. Rena, Mr. Eric, myself, Alan Moore, and Mr. Robert Judge, all present and accounted for. And if everyone would please bow your heads. Mr. Judge, would you bring us to the Lord in prayer?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as always, we are grateful for this beautiful day, St. Patrick's Day, that we can celebrate the mission of the church to evangelize people and bring them to the gospel. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity to bring our community together and to provide much needed and overdue process of a learning space and a space for them to, for this part of the community, to bring it up to where everyone else is as well with a new library. And I pray that everyone here, the board, has prudently evaluated everything possible to make the best decision, not only for this region, but for the whole system. And we ask for your grace in order to be able to accomplish this task, along with the other items that are on the agenda. We ask you to bless everyone that is here for their presence and also for their safe travel home later on this evening. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
If you would please join us for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, we'd like to thank everyone for attending, and we do have some special guests this evening. Our mayor-president, we also have the city parish attorney, Mr. Ottinger, joining us, and anyone else I'm missing here, other dignitaries. Oh, Councilman Rubin over there. Thank you for being here with us.
Councilman Boudreaux's here too.
What's that?
Councilman Kenneth Boudreaux is here.
Oh, where is Mr. Boudreaux?
Right next to him.
Okay, Councilman Boudreaux, we appreciate everyone's attendance here today. So we will begin our agenda this evening with the Northeast Library Committee report. I apologize. We are going to have a reading just to kind of kick our meeting off. Ms. Rena, if you would, please.
Yes. Welcome to the Lafayette Public Library Board of Control meeting. As board member, I would like to announce the following. This is a public meeting. To address the Board of Control on any item on the agenda, please complete and submit the public speaker form prior to the calling of the agenda item in order to have the opportunity to speak. Items for submission to the board should be handed to Ms. Nancy Hebert, seated at the table to our right. When addressing the board, state your name, parish of residence, and title for the official record. No debating or confrontational statements will be allowed. This is not a question and answer session where you can ask questions and demand answers of board members or of employees, though board members may ask clarifying questions to ensure your concerns are understood. All comments must pertain to library business in general and the action item being considered in particular. The 3-minute rule will be in effect. Members of the public are asked to remain quiet during the meeting to allow the board to conduct its business efficiently and to refrain from making comments while other members of the public are addressing the board from the podium. Meeting procedures are governed generally by Robert's Rules of Order, but the presiding officer may deviate from Robert's Rules of Order when necessary, convenient, or desirable for the efficient proceeding of the meeting. Please silence all phones and electronic devices. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rena. Okay. Ms. Ella?
Yes. There was no new business, so our meeting for March the 13th was canceled. Our next Northeast Library Committee meeting is scheduled for April 17th. And that concludes my report.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you for that. Any comments from the library board in that regard? All right. Well, we will switch over to our facilities and financial update.
Okay. So the main library was closed for a good portion of a week due to a plumbing issue. LUS and plumbers came out and reconnected us to the sewer system. We're having a few issues at the North Regional Library with the automatic door. We've got the company out working on that. The South Regional Library project is getting ready to enter phase three. Staff are moving books out of the children's area so that that work can continue. And we have some cracks in the sheetrock and on the brick wall in the courtyard at the West Regional Library, but we're looking into that. Financial, now that Larry's back, you'll start getting something in your packet next meeting. But for now, our revenue up to date is just over $13 million. And our expenses up to date are about $4.8 million. And I'm looking at you, Larry, to tell me, is that about what we expected? Is that normal?
Yeah, about.
That's about par for the course for this time of the year.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Galan. And we definitely want to welcome Mr. Larry back onto the team. Glad to have you back, sir. Yes, please. So we will move on to our assistant director's report from Ms. Dawn Williams.
In February, we filled the vacant LA1 position at North. Cheryl Lewis started a new position on Monday, March 10th. We held the ratings interviews for our vacant librarian 1 position at South, and an interview for that position was conducted last week. Interviews for our 2 vacant LTA positions at North will be held within the next week or so, and we will be opening the application for our LTA 3 vacancy at South soon. So within the next 3 to 4 weeks, we will be 100% fully staffed in all of our library branches, which
That's
is
awesome.
Very exciting. Staff is still in the planning phase of the 2025 Summer Reading Challenge. A t-shirt design competition was held. And Lon Pham from our South Regional branch, her design was selected to be featured on our Summer Reading Kickoff t-shirts. And the Friends of the Library have very graciously agreed to purchase these shirts for all of our staff. So thank you to all of the Friends. Our stats for February were impressive, even with our closures due to Mardi Gras and with Maine's closure due to our plumbing issues. In February, we had a total of 61,922 patrons visit our libraries or use our drive-thrus, which was about 4% higher than last February. And we offered a total of 305 programs, and 5,032 patrons attended those programs. The Bookmobile made 10 stops in February and had over 200 patron visits, which is really exciting. Last month, I attended the monthly Friends of the Library Board meeting, the Library Foundation Board meeting, and the Bayou Land meeting, the Summer Reading Program Kickoff Planning meeting, and also the Teen Adult Programming meeting. And I attended story times at East, West, and North. And this is also a reminder that Maine will be hosting an evening with Denise Lewis-Patrick, who is the author of this year's Lafayette Reads Together selection. This will be on Wednesday, March 26th at 6 p.m., and we hope you all can attend.
Thank you, Ms. Dawn. We'll move on to our director's report from Mr. Danny Galane.
Okay, so I spent a good portion of my month dealing with Maine's plumbing issues and ratings interviews for the library operations manager, which apparently I did not need. I attended the Bayou Land meeting and the Friends board meeting. And I have been attending the South Regional Construction meetings, attended training on the new Tyler system for the budgeting, and I have spent a reasonable amount of time with HR. And really, that's about all I've done other than working on answering questions for preparation for this meeting for Northeast to provide you with as much data as I could.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. We'll move into our approval of minutes from our February 17th meeting at this time.
Mr. Vice President, I make a motion to approve the minutes.
So noted.
I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any public comment?
No public comments.
All right, we'll call for the vote unless we have any board discussion. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion carries. Now we're going to move on to some unfinished business on our agenda, first of which is in regards to a marketing decision that was made. And this is really a revisiting due to an inadequate following of procedure. And so if everyone will recall, there was a motion, and I'm just going to read it to restate, and then someone can make that official motion, but just to refresh everyone's memory, there was a motion for the board to give the director the permission to submit a proposal to the professional services committee and for the award of the professional services contract related to the library marketing and to exercise that contract. There was some inadequate procedure that was not followed in that vote, which we did revisit last meeting, but just to make sure that everyone has ample opportunity this evening, we wanted it to have it on the published agenda and make public comment available. So with that, if anyone would like to make that official motion. All right, I'll make the official motion. I would like to motion that the board give the director the permission to submit a proposal to the Professional Services Committee and for the award of the professional services contract related to the library marketing and to exercise said contract.
I'll give the second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any public comment?
Do we have any public comments? Because it's not on the agenda.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
For the unfinished business?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's a no.
Okay, no public comment. All right, any board discussion? We'll call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Once again, thank you all very much. Okay, now we will move on to the Northeast Library. I'll open it up for any board discussion or comments at this time?
I will start since I'm the committee chairwoman.
Yes, ma'am, please.
The Northeast Library Committee voted unanimously to recommend option one, the 20,500 square foot plan. When the decision was made by the committee to recommend the largest facility, we did not talk in depth about the cost to build the library, run the library, or how much it would cost to run all 10 libraries. The committee stated that the library system has a healthy fund balance between 30 and 34 million. I'm not exactly sure of the amount. But I think as board members, we do see the value in building the Northeast Regional Library. The needs were strongly expressed by the community. Evangeline Thruway is a barrier for some people. Technology is needed for educational purposes, a space for children so they can be encouraged to learn. Meeting and study spaces were all very important to the community. The library system might have $30 million, $34 million now, but as a board trustee, I do have to answer to the public for the decisions that I make, so I'm very interested in the long-term effect of building the largest library. I cannot consciously allow this library system to go backwards and be in the red like they were just a few short years ago, especially if there's something that can be done to prevent this from occurring again. To get out of that financial hole, there were some drastic cuts that had to be made, which included cuts to operations. Capital projects were put on hold or downsized. Staffing was downsized. Library hours were cut so that the library system could get its finances back on track and in a position to where the board and library staff could move forward in the process of building the Northeast Regional Library. There's factors that we need to consider and discuss when we're talking about building the Northeast Library. The needs of the patrons that will be using this library needs to be considered. The population, the size, the number of people that the Northeast Regional Library will be serving, and the cost to run all 10 libraries. Regarding the population, I looked at the information that was given to us by our consultant, Maureen Art with 720 Design, and she had said the population in 2023 for a 1 mile radius was 5,202, 3 mile radius was 41,621, and a 5 mile radius was 78,411. And then projected for the year 2028. And all this information was taken off of the presentation that Ms. Maureen made to the board and the public. So in 2028, the projected population for a 1 mile radius around the new library would be 5,193. 3 mile radius, 42,527. And a 5 mile radius, 80,116. So I don't know, you know, the size that these are the population, the numbers that she had given. So I'd like to discuss how does that affect the size of the library. So I want to hear what y'all have to say.
Mr. Vice President, may I make a comment?
Please, Ms. Rena.
Okay, I have a couple things to do first. First, our board president, Mr. Daniel Kelly, could not be with us tonight, so he sent me a statement that he would like for me to read on his behalf. I, Daniel Kelly, president of the Library Board of Control, do support the building of the Northeast Regional Library, and I support the adoption of option one for the library's construction. I also have a statement from Parish Councilman Richard, who was also unable to make it tonight. His statement reads, I want to express my support for building the library and utilizing the option that includes the auditorium. That area of the parish is growing and will continue to grow as we offer more opportunities such as the library. I am behind the largest option. And then I have a couple points to make to Ms. Ella's comments as well as some of my own. So after our meeting last month, I asked for a 5 mile and 3 mile radius from our library staff. And what I received were these maps. The 3 mile radius that was estimated for the Northeast Regional Branch was 65,318 people. And for the 5 mile radius was 114,882 people. That does vary from what Ms. Ella quoted. Mm-hmm. However, even though if that population came from the design consultant's mm-hmm. research, our design consultant also advocated for building the largest option that we have available at the 20,500. This will be the only library for the entire region of the north and northeast side of the I-49 corridor. A smaller design like the 17,000 square foot option will not meet the growing demand and expanding population that was demonstrated in the Lafayette Economic Development Authority's research that I passed along to the board. This will also only offer the second public meeting space for that side of town. And the first one was only recently developed. The population surrounding the area has younger age demographics. The families in the new housing developments are young with small children, and the demographic research done by 720 Design showed that half the population of the 5 mile radius is below the age 39. This will also serve as a safe space for teenagers during the summer and when the school is closed. They'll have library opportunities from the time of 4 to 9 p.m. The library fund balance has enough money to cover the construction and operation of the 20,500 square foot option. If a smaller option is built with the intention to expand later, the price of construction will increase and be higher than it is now to build, as well as disrupt library services and patron use at the time. There are 8 more computers in option 1 than in option 2, offering internet access to a population in critical need of computers. There are also 8 plus public, private, parochial, charter, and business schools in the Northeast Lafayette area. The largest design option will also reinforce children's learning opportunities through programs and reading and reinforce the $6 million ACE program at Branco and Fault. I have no further comments right now.
Thank you. Any other board comment? Mr. Judge.
Sure. A couple of things. A lot of work was done over the last month, which was really great to see. The board really kind of taking all of the information that we received immediately and then did some more research. I reached out to Ziller, the architect, in the contract, and one of the questions I had was also a legal question, is that the contract that was signed by Joel Robidoux in December of 2019 had a design for 13,500 square feet plus the warehouse. And so my question was, well, if we do something different, does that break a contract? Does that break a legal obligation on part of LCG? And does that create some type of legal problem for us? I reached out to Mr. Bro, and the answer to that question was no. Okay, so there was no legal impediment to changing the contract with Ziller. The second thing was, as we know, I think in 2018, $8 million was deposited to the library in order to construct a Northeast Regional Library for this particular area. And so Mr. Kenneth Boudreau was behind that. He was the one who got that together for the library. And I did reach out to him and ask him, how did we come up with $8 million? What was the point of that number? And what was the point of 13,500 square feet for the library? Was there some research that was done to come to that conclusion? From what he told me, and Mr. Boudreau, if I get this fact wrong, please correct me, was that essentially they looked at West Regional Library, what it cost to build West Regional Library, and essentially was going to use the same square footage model, and that was the cost of it, and then do the same thing in Northeast. So that's how those numbers got there. So then we got to, one second, please. Then we got to the idea of how did we get to 17,500 square feet? How did we get to 20,500 square feet when the people involved originally essentially thought what we would do is mirror, and I don't mean architecturally mirror, but the same square footage footprint of West Regional and put it at Northeast Regional. How did we get there from there to this expanded view? And I don't have an answer for that, but I did I've had two conversations with our library director, who's the head librarian essentially, to get his thoughts on the move forward, what he would do if he had carte blanche and make his own decision. The other thing too, and I'd like to echo what Ms. Ella said, I understand that part of that region of the community, that Northeast region, has perhaps, I would imagine, felt left out. Everything else got done, and then they were left what happened to us. And so there is, I'll use the word an RV to get this done, and I understand that. At the same time, this board has a responsibility to make sure that the library stays viable, that we stay financially responsible. We've been very keen on that. I think Mr. Lowry and Danny have both been very keen on ensuring that the library is healthy overall. So there's a balancing act that has to take place between this project and serving the needs of a section of the community, a portion of Lafayette Parish that has been unfortunately left out, and also moving to make sure that the overall health of the entire system is taken care of. And so I'll throw a question and punt to Mr. Gillane. Given the situation that we have, the financial situation, and also serving the needs of the community and balancing all of those, if you have your carte blanche and wave your magic wand, what do you build?
After talking to the consultant and the operations manager, after the public input was done, we met twice, and the library administration's opinion was that we would build 17,500 square foot library, and it would be an adequate and a good library size for that area. Based on our experience with our previous construction projects and our existing libraries.
I have nothing else.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other?
Yes, I have a follow-up question to Mr. Gillane's comment. Mr. Gillane, you sent us the projected actuals for the library's revenue, expenses, and the fund balance into 2034. Mm-hmm. Would that include the operational costs for the options 1 or 2 in what you sent?
Yes.
Okay, so would there be enough money in the fund balance to operate option 1 into 2034?
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, I have one other point, sure. And I remember it was from Ziller. When I talked to the architect, one of the questions I asked was, okay, so what do you do with the $8 million? What was part of that? I'm sorry, that's where I had just remembered. $5.3 million was considered construction cost, and or 5.7, and $2.3 or $2.7 million was what's known as soft cost. So that was the cost of consultants, that was the cost of the architect, that was the cost of purchasing the property, those kind of things. So if we moved to cover those soft costs and just make it an even 3, I don't know what that gets us. I don't know what that buys us, but there's also the issue of the warehouse as well. I think that was part of the original contract too. And Danny, the contract that we have to rent a warehouse, that ends in... does it end in a year and a half?
We might have 2 years left.
Maybe 2 years. Okay. So, and then after that, is there any indication that we would be able to get a long-term lease with those people, or they want us out? Or you don't know?
We have to discuss it.
Okay. Okay. I'll leave it at that. That's all I have. I'm sorry. Thank you for allowing me to.
I'm going to make a comment or two, and then I'm going to invite our mayor president to the podium. She's going to share some things publicly. I want to just voice my appreciation to this board, to the staff, the committee, the consultant firm. Over the last 4 weeks, obviously over the last multiple months and years, but there's been a lot of work done, but over the last 4 weeks, there's been a tremendous lift to be able to get data and information to make sure that this board that is incumbent with the responsibility to make sure that as a library system, we're here for generations to come to the best of our ability. As many will remember, on the last meeting, I had concerns that I voiced, and I asked a couple of different questions that I really didn't feel we had the clear and concise answers to. And I'm happy to report today, after a lot of work was done by a lot of different people, my concerns have been taken care of. I've been able to reconcile those, and I feel like the fiduciary responsibility that I have as a board member has been adequately answered. And so I want to just publicly express my appreciation, because I know that that's work that's on top of all the other things everyone was already doing. And this is a volunteer board, and if we got paid just by the emails that went back and forth in the last 4 weeks, we'd be doing really good, okay? So I appreciate all the time, effort, and energy everyone has put in to make sure that we are doing the right thing for Lafayette. So with that stated, before any motions or anything proceed, we would love to hear from our mayor president, if you would, please.
Is it on?
Is the mic on?
It's not muted. No, ma'am, it should be on.
Thank you. No, that's okay. So I want to echo Alan's comments and thank everybody on the board, as well as the committee and the staff. I know this community has been through a lot with this library over many, many years. Thank you, Councilman Boudreaux, for starting it way, way back when. I think it's been discussed that my signature goes on all of these official documents. And it's not often that I sign something that I don't know what I'm signing. So as all of this is progressing, I started paying attention and got kind of curious as to the legal structure with the parish. The parish council appoints the board. The mayor does not, but the mayor signs the papers, or the mayor president, I should say, the parish president, in my role as parish president. So with that, I did ask Pat Ottinger, and I'm going to ask him to come up here and explain, to look into it and to help me understand. We have a lot of boards and commissions in Lafayette, and most of them are advisory. And I believe Pat will explain the role that this board plays as well. And I'm going to let him do that, and then I'm going to come back up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor President. Pat Ottinger, the City Parish Attorney in Lafayette, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I have reviewed over time, at the request of the Mayor President, the authorities that pertain to the board, and certainly they are appointed by the parish council, as you all know, but their roles are really dealing with personnel and administration of the library proper and whatever. Insofar as contracts are concerned, that is the authority of the parish council to approve and the mayor to execute and whatever. And so there are a series of attorney general's opinions. There's no lawsuit. You often look for litigation or a decision of a court, but for the most part, the attorney general's opinions are quite consistent in that it is the responsibility of the parish to administer the contract. I know in the past, I did inquire, prior libraries have been built through the Public Works Department, because it is an LCG project in that regard. And so I certainly know that everyone welcomes the views and sentiments of this board, and thank you for that. But insofar as the administration of the contract, it's clear that it's a parish contract to be administered by Lafayette Consolidated Government, which of course is composed of the parish, and under the auspices of the parish council to approve budgetary matters and contracts of that type. So that's the landscape. And so I bring that to say that reviewing the conversation, the community and the media and whatever, there seem to be some uncertainty as to precisely what the role is. So your views are certainly encouraged and welcome and whatever, but contracts are in place. The land's been acquired pursuant to ordinance and budgetary revisions, as well as there is in place the Zeiler contract. If a change order was in order, that's something that that would have to be initiated by the administration. So that's just the landscape that is presented, and I say that to again thank the board for its consideration of these issues, but it's really a parish project to be administered by the Public Works Department of Lafayette Consolidated Government. Thank you.
So with that being said, what I want to say is you guys have done a tremendous job of getting a lot of public input and coming up with recommendations. And what I would like is to take your recommendations, working with the parish council, and administer them with the parish council in mind. That's typically how we do projects. They will, you know, you will go out for bid for this. Will any of those land at $8 million? Likely not, if that was a dollar amount conceived in 2018. And then it becomes a parish decision, a parish council decision. Do you allocate more money or not? And so we do go back and forth with the parish council on these kinds of projects, and we will do that. I will say that with consideration of all of the input and all of the work you've done, and again, I do want to thank you. I feel like there was some disposition in the community that maybe we, that the decision was solely at this level, and I'm if my signature is going on it, then it is not. I do have a voice in it. And so I do want to just say that, and say that with the deepest respect for the amount of effort that's going into this to make it a good recommendation. Your report was very thorough and concise and made a lot of considerations. So I want to thank you all and open the dialogue with us. Since, again, I get a lot of contracts every day, and I do look at every one of them, and I want to have some idea of what's going on and what the implications are on those contracts, and so does the parish council. And so together, the three bodies, the administration, the council, and the board will move this project forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. So just for clarity's sake, Mayor President, Mr. Ottinger, by us still voting and making motions, that is part of that conversation, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I wanted to make sure that we didn't need to take a different path there. One other comment that I would like to make, and then quite frankly, I'm going to make a motion. I truly believe after looking at all the data, the information, I personally even took the data and the information and went all the way down to looking at a per square foot per capita of people that this library is going to serve, but not only this library, but all the rest of our other 9 libraries. And we looked at, Danny, thank you very much for all the work that you did on looking at operational budgets and things of this nature to make sure that we could continue to be able to support that. And the truth is at the 17.5 or at the 20,500, if you look at it on a per square foot per capita, in other words, that 5-mile radius of people that it serves, even at 20,500 square feet, it's not the biggest library in our system on a per capita basis. I would say that I do recognize and put a tremendous amount of value and weight on the staff and the management team and those perspectives and their professional opinions in how we move forward. I believe that these professionals really have a good handle on what's going on, and their recommendation is a 17,500. But that being said, I want to make a motion. And I'm going to move that the board support the construction of a 20,500 square foot library. A 20,500 square foot library with the requested additional warehouse space. Furthermore, I propose that a minimum of the 1,200 square feet of the additional 3,000 square feet above the requested 17,500 square feet option be specifically designated for the creation of a maker space. This makerspace should be designed to rival any makerspace in all of South Louisiana, providing our Northeast Lafayette community with direct access to exceptional resources and opportunity for creativity and innovation, utilizing cutting-edge technology such as artificial intelligence, 3D printers, laser cutters, CNC machines, virtual reality systems, augmented reality tools, robotics kits, electronics prototyping stations, advanced software for design and engineering, and state-of-the-art media production tools. So we have a motion on the table. Do we have a second?
I will second it.
We have a motion and we have a second. Do we have any public comment?
Yes.
Tom Hodek.
Hey, I'm Tom Hodak, and I need my reading glasses from Lafayette, and I'm in favor of option one. Just to my little background, my father was a geophysicist, my mother was a registered nurse, two professional parents, we had a good income, we were affluent, and lived on the south side. We didn't lack for need, we had what we needed to advance in life, my siblings and I, and we had resources. Sounds like you're talking about a lot of resources. So I appreciate that. The citizens in the catchment area are lacking in resources afforded in other areas of the parish. They shared last time that they have the lower socioeconomic status, higher numbers of young people, extreme interest in the Northeast Library by the minors in response, as evidenced by the response rate, and a higher African American population. As a clinical social worker, which I mentioned last time, I've worked with numerous children and adolescents. And usually, if they're in my office, they're at risk. Not all of them, but the majority are at risk for various reasons. But the common denominator is always lack of resources, be it financial, education, transportation, everything else. The resources at the for children who frequent the library. This is a scientific study. I can give you a site to ask later. Better academic performance, higher scores and standardized tests. That plays a critical role in nurturing literacy for younger generation, access to books, and fostering a love of reading. Children with library access spend more time reading, as do their parents reading to their children. Improved homework completion rates for those children with access to library versus those who are not, and access to resources, books, computers, internet, everything else. Lack of access negatively impacts the children's access to reading materials, academic performance, and social skills. They did studies on children's library reasons. 87% were to borrow books, 55% to do schoolwork, 46% to borrow DVDs and CDs, 46% to attend library events, use of the internet, 37%, and to socialize with friends, 37%. As a social worker, that's important to these kids, too. What I don't have is longitudinal studies over the course of time about people that have the right sources, have access to the library, have access to literacy, and how that affects them later in life. These folks in the Northeast quadrant that desperately need this, you'll do a study in 10 or 20 years, and you're gonna see those numbers go up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cindy Fox.
My name is Cindy Wilgus Fox. I'm a resident of Scott, a retired school librarian, and I raised three children in Lafayette Parish where they partook of the library extensively. I'm asking you to please vote for the biggest library. I live within walking distance of West. It's a beautiful library, and the children on the Northeast deserve a library, a big library that meets all of their needs. Thank you.
Mr. Patrick Ottinger. Okay. James Reese.
Hello, my name is James Reese. I grew up on the north side of Lafayette, moved to Louisiana. My family's originally from St. Martin Parish, but we moved back here in 1975. And my wife and I retired 3 years ago, moved back here after being gone for about 20 years. And but we raised our, when our kids were little, we lived here. And we used the public library quite a bit. I've lived in 5 states in the last 20 years. And what I've noticed in the communities I've lived in, the ones that are thriving have really good library systems and parks and rec. And because that's what families need, that's what kids need. And education, all forms of education, are the key to all of our challenges in our communities. And so I encourage the board to do something, whether it be the smallest library or the biggest library. I support the biggest library, and I think that the north side of town deserves it, and the kids there definitely need it. And I grew up on East Willow Street near Trailings High School. My wife and I have moved back there, and in the 50 years that I've seen that community, the growth is substantial, and there's more and more areas being built. So I think that if it's not needed now, it will be soon. So thank you all for your community service. Thank you to the staff, and thank you to our mayor and our attorney. And all of the volunteers are people here to support this community because we have the best place to live in the world, and we need additional resources. Thank you.
Kenneth Boudreaux.
Actually, I think everything that needs to be said has been said, but I want to say thank you to the staff, and thank you to this board, and thank you for that that recommendation. Just as Mr. Judge, he indicated, we spoke, and his comments was accurate. The only thing is, when we came up with the $8 million, it was specifically related to what was spent on West Regional on our last bill. As it relates to size, I, in my council capacity at that time, did not talk about size. That was left to the library professionals, the architects and engineers and public works. For me, this started in 2013. Everybody has engaged at different phases, and that's a beautiful thing. And I actually intentionally kind of removed myself from the process once I got out of office. Because I think there was an attempt to kind of weaponize that in a way. And I certainly didn't want to do that. The community was more than enough to push this thing through as we see here today. But as I was listening to the comments, I said, what can I say to really make them appreciate what they're about to do? As we question about the capacity of this community, the demographics, the geographics, and everything that goes along with it. And I just want to remind you that this community saved the library system. That's how I view it. A lot of people forget the fund balance at the time was, I think, $26 million. The proposal at that time was to remove $18 million and send it somewhere else. The proposal to put $8 million to a Northeast and $4 million into capital for the renovations of Karen Crow literally saved the system. The original proposal would have left you with a $4 million fund balance back then. So it wasn't just about this library itself, it was about the entire system, which leads me to my final comment. When Joe Robidoux first made the initial proposal, as we talk about regional libraries throughout the parish, my only words to him was, Mr. Robidoux, the parish plan isn't finished because we haven't gotten anything. That's when the map was created, the tours was taken, and we was able to identify locations that existed in areas that had needs. And it landed here today. So I think we're doing really good. I thank you for your work. I know it is tirelessly and it's effortlessly and it just takes a lot, but know that you're appreciated. And I look forward look forward to seeing the celebration of the vote that's going to take place here tonight. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Andrew Duyon.
Andrew Duyon, Lafayette. First of all, Mr. Moore, thank you for that motion. Really appreciate that. Ms. Bradley, for your second. And thank you to the mayor and the council members for being here today. Very important thing for North Lafayette. I've always been in favor of this library. I served on boards in the past that, you know, we installed and constructed the previous library system that you now have, our great regional library system, and the renovation to Maine. But this is a particularly targeted library because of and what Mr. Boudreau had brought up when he first got the appropriations for the $8 million for the library was that those natural barriers that we have, you know, prevent kids from getting there on foot or on bike, which is very true. And it's a population that is really underserved with their own personal automobiles. So they have a very difficult time in getting to that location or, you know, to other libraries in other locations. So thank you for your support of this. I hope that everyone will support it and get it approved. You know, there is tremendous growth and tremendous demand in that area. I was talking to a former legislator today, and we talked about Target, the Target store that's right there. They rue the day that they made the decision to build that Target store the size they did. They wish they would have built a super Target. The Academy folks, they're the largest opening day that they've had in any location in the state. So, you know, there is tremendous growth in that area. Everybody knows about Bucky's. Who hasn't heard about that? But also, if you look around, those of us that live in that area realize there's a lot more as far as for residential growth in that area than the people, most of the people of Lafayette realize. So I would really support, you know, I just wanted to get a library built. I said if 17.5 is what we end up with, well, I'd rather that than fall on my sword and just have to have 20,000. But I really think 20,000 is the right solution. And I really have a lot of faith in Danny. Larry, welcome back. I really have a lot of faith in them that they will be able to operate this library in a way that will keep your budget in the black. You have sufficient fund balance and, you know, the operating costs going forward, I think they've done some good performance that show that they will be able to support this library. So thank you for putting this on the table and hope that we can get this library done. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mitzi Miller Maddox.
I'm Mitzi Miller Maddox, Lafayette Parish resident and property taxpayer. I'm so happy to be here for something positive tonight. As a person who works in child development, I think that the research is very clear that good community spaces helps with child development and education. Community spaces help communities get better. So I am in favor of, you know, the tax dollars that I pay going towards community spaces. I think it's probably my biggest tax priority, actually. So I would urge you to vote for the largest option. I would like to thank Ms. Rena for her good faith work on this. I would like to thank the mayor president for making this a priority. I really appreciate that, and I'm just happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Conrad T. Como.
Conrad Como, Lafayette Parish resident. Anything else you need to know? Okay, good. I'd like to point out a few things. First, I appreciate what Mr. Judge and Ms. Ella said about being concerned about finances and the finances of the library system going forward, operating expenses. But I want to point out that we're not building a library for today. We're building a library for the future. And to build a bigger library, as the consultant said, it's cheaper to build it today than it will be in 5 years to expand it. And if you don't believe that, let's look at look forward-looking people that built this library. They built three floors, but only opened two, because they knew they would grow into it. And the same goes for this library. Build the biggest library you can afford now to build. If you can't staff all of them adequately, then you have a big enough system that you can rearrange your resources to meet the demand where the demands are, so that you can satisfy your situations, but build the biggest library you can now so that it's the cheapest you can at this point in time. After a while, a few years later, we all know costs aren't going down. So thank you very much for your cooperation and your assistance.
Thank you, sir.
Margaret Oakers.
My name is Margaret Oakers. I am really happy that the Mayor President is here today. Mr. Ottinger, welcome. I'm thankfully from Ken Boudreaux's district as well as A.B. Rubin's. I strongly recommend you approve library option number one. And there's a point I'd like to make, and it predates some of you. But the librarians are the ones that got us back in the black. The librarians are the ones that sacrificed staying open on Sundays. That's who did it. They came up with the plan, they got it done. And that's why we're here today, and it's a happy day. We have the money, and I think that we should invest in our city and parish. My neighborhood has been waiting for more than a decade. Enough is enough.
A.B. Rubin.
Good evening. My name's A.B. Rubin, parish councilman. I'm here today to ask you guys, appreciate the motion to go with option one. And you mentioned something about extra space for future. I can tell you, like, my little brother just went to California, big robotic seminar. That's the future. A lot of the young children on the north side of town will not have access to such things if we don't provide it for them. So here's an opportunity to build a larger library and provide these types of resources for the young people on the north side of town. It would look very well if we all come together as a community and vote unanimously to build the first option. Thank you very much.
Lynette Mejia.
Lynette Mejia. Lafayette Parish. I just want to start off by thanking you, Mr. Moore. That was a wonderful motion, and I want to thank Ms. Rena for the work that she has done doing research for this library. And obviously, I support option one, and I would certainly appreciate for you all to vote for that. But the point I'd like to make is, you know, I want to acknowledge and thank Mr. Boudreaux for getting this entire process started and for advocating for this library when literally no one else did. But I'd also like to thank all of the community members who have literally worked years to make this happen. There have been numerous times in this process dealing with this board that it almost came to a stop. And the only reason we are truly here tonight is because there is a group of people in this community who believe in this project with all their heart and have continued to fight and fight and fight and fight. And I want to acknowledge them tonight and thank them for being steadfast and being a part of this coming to fruition. Thank you.
Alton Trahan.
Good afternoon. My name is Alton Trahan. Actually, I'm kind of elated to be here at this point, as those of you guys who've known, it's been 2 years. I remember the phone call in, I think it was August, September 2022. Mr. Judge, he was on the board, you know, with Doug and them, and say, can we move this project forward? And I was 100% on board. But it wasn't on board for me. It wasn't on board for my kids. You know, I had the conversation with my daughter this weekend, who's graduating from Howard. My wife, who's a school board member, it was kind of like, you know, she's in the public policies. She's going to be, you know, attorney come May. And she said, Dad, why are you fighting? I said, I'm fighting for other kids. Not for you. Not for your brothers. Because they need the same opportunity that y'all have. But my kids, they need a library. I had a library in my home. They had access to everything. But with the 100 and everything we've been doing with mentoring in this community, we know kids who does not have access to this. We know kids and we meet kids, we've mentored kids, we've seen kids struggle, their families struggle, because why? They need access to education. There are several schools in this district. It's one of the reasons why my wife Amy ran for school board to push for education, because we know the necessity. We've seen our kids and we've raised them and educated them in the way that many kids can't, their parents can't. Because why? They can't access that. And because of what you just spoke about and having this, I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing for these kids, because many of them that we meet have that intellectual ability to do so. They just don't have the opportunity. They don't have the place to go and get it. So, again, it's a great day. Mr. Judge, I believe in your support. Ella, you was on the Northeast Committee with me. I believe in your support. And as well, Spike, everyone here, I think, is unanimous. It's going to send a message. Because here's what we do. We set the stage for Lafayette. In that particular area, we know there's growth. You have Acadiana Nature Trail. You have to be a visionary. I'm a dreamer. You got the nature trail. You got wetlands. You can do so much with this library, and connecting the two is unbelievable what it's going to do for Lafayette, just alone, not alone to economic development and everything else, but the educational system and raising those grade levels, raising that educational value that's needed in those kids. So it's opportunity. You know, your support here tonight, believe you me, I think will lead the way. You guys could be the ones that set the pace of what happens in Lafayette by just a unanimous vote tonight, and send a clear message that Lafayette is about education. It's about equal opportunity for everyone. It's about giving these kids, in particular, and their parents, and even the community, just a chance. Give them the chance and watch them succeed. So thank you. I look forward to hearing your vote. Thanks.
Ann Swanson.
Hello, my name is Ann Swanson, and I'm here in support of the first option, the largest option. I'd like to echo the call of so many of our speakers so far, that a unanimous verdict would send a great message and really put the bow on this success and this victory. And I would like to add a few other things as well, that in addition to being just a great moment, a great celebration, all the arguments that we have heard, all the reasons that you here believe in this library, is we have a deficit of trust. And we've had a deficit of trust for a long time, and showing the good faith effort of supporting a library that you know the kids need, that you know you can afford, and that you know the people want. It's the right thing to do, and it's the thing to do that is going to help bridge that trust deficit that we currently have. So last thing I want to say, I am here both as myself, but also as the advocacy chair for the 166 member group, Women of Wisdom. Many of us are here tonight in favor of this very important library that impacts our community. Thank you.
Mary Lib Garcia.
Mary Lib Garcia. I just want to first note that you might not have to hire that marketing director if you vote unanimously for option one. I think it's a great idea. I think it will send an extraordinary message to the community, and I encourage you to do just that. A few things. First of all, I did serve on the Northeast Regional Library Committee that was appointed by the board. I also did make the motion to recommend option one to the library board for your consideration. And I did that not just because I want a good library for Northeast Lafayette, but because we had studied the data. I've been following this issue for several years. And we were assured by both the library director, Mr. Gillane, that he could afford, that the library district could afford to build any of the three options that were on the table. And the question came up also about what about operating costs for not just the new library in Northeast Regional, but also to manage all 10 libraries throughout the parish. He said it can be done. He said if we have to make adjustments, he said we've been there before and we can make that happen. So that being the case, then we looked at the very wise study and helpful study that Mrs. Arndt with 720 Design offered. And it was her recommendation as a professional library consultant who works nationwide and as well as into Canada that option one best met the needs that were identified in all of the public forums as well as in the meeting groups with librarians, with educators, and with business people. So there was that. But I went a little bit further. I visited some of our libraries, and one of the libraries I had not been in was the West Regional Library. And that's a really cool library. But I will tell you that we can do better for Northeast Regional. West Library at 17,500 is one of nine libraries that are built west of the Evangeline Corridor. This Northeast Regional Library will be the only library that will serve that entire region. So I think that's a profound difference. The money's there. The need has been described. There's a tremendous need to support early childhood programs and to provide a place for teens and adults to come in after hours to use the services. Computer access is a huge thing there as well. It's a safe place. It's a public meeting space. It's the right decision. I urge you all to vote for option one, and let's get this thing done.
Samantha Amos.
Good evening, everyone. I almost retracted my speech after hearing that you motion to go forth with this. But I just want to share a little bit. My name is Samantha Chopin Amos. I'm a system integrations analyst and an adjunct instructor at the university where I teach students about keys to self-publishing books. I'm honored to speak to you today about something that not only matters to me personally, but to our entire community, which is the Northeast Library. As a local author, I spent many summers driving to the Karen Crow Library, finding some quiet place to write. And over the course of the summers driving, I was able to write two books. Now, as a published author of two books and two more books in progress, I can tell you that a quiet, accessible place to write is invaluable. With this new library, it's only 1 minute away from my home, 1 or 2 minutes. it will provide that space to be clear, to be able to write more, even though it's a hop and skip and a jump away from my home. I'm not thinking about my own convenience, but the convenience of our community. So in all seriousness, this library is just not for me, but it's for our children, our family, and our entire community. It is those who want to learn, explore, reflect, and yes, create, whether it's writing books, studying for school, or simply needing a quiet place to think. As we all know, and you had mentioned that we have felt like we were kind of the stepchild or have left out the north side of Lafayette. I've lived there for some years now. I've been part of the Lafayette community coming from New Orleans at the age of 16, attending the university here. And we know that, like for Grand Park, which is not far away from me, there were some budget cuts, and we, if not mistaken, got a smaller version of the park. So we don't want to be downsized. We deserve the best. We deserve the biggest. We're not second-class citizens, and we want our infrastructures to reflect that. So in this consideration, it will serve our neighborhood and the entire northeast area. It's a place to have communication, creativity, and support for the entire community. And just you adding that addition information about a place of creativity, even for AI. I am currently working on my master's in informatics, and so to be able to have a place to have that space for students to learn, I would love to be able to mentor those students and pass on the knowledge that I do have. So please pass this the bigger option. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Claire Delcombe.
Claire Delcombe, Lafayette City and Parish. We know that in 2019, we've got the nine libraries to the west of I-49, and you've got none on the east side. That area is one-fifth of the parish land area, and in 2019, it had one-third of the entire parish's black population. Of course, the data's a little old, but still, if you look at how many people can be positively affected and how negatively affected they have been having no library with easy access. The tech and the computers, the Wi-Fi can help to advance education, and that would increase better earners in that area of the community that can further invest in that community. I understand there are quite a number of housing developments that are being planned for on that side. It's about to boom. One of the things that has been presented and has stalled this process several times, I've heard, is a hesitancy to spend the tax dollars on the east side of I-49. It's been implied that some people are property owners and therefore they have more, should have more input as to where property taxes go. And it's been implied that on that north side there are more renters than there are property owners, and that they are not allowed to have the good things that happen to the west of I-49. Well, I want to remind people that the fiscal responsibility that's held some people back because of faulty thinking needs to be straightened out. People who rent hand their money over to the property owner, and the property owner uses that money to pay the property taxes. The money originates with the renters. So everybody's a taxpayer, and they deserve to have this service that has been denied them for so long, and they deserve the largest of the libraries. Property owners oftentimes don't even own the property. The bank does. A person with good credit can get a property mortgaged to the hilt, They can write off their mortgage insurance and wind up getting the property on the backs of the renters. Give them what they need.
Mitzi Moss Duyon.
Mitzi Moss Duyon, excuse me, Lafayette Parish. At first, Andrew took all of my words, and then Alton took all of my words, and I said, I'm not going to speak. And then I'm like, no, I'm never going to miss the chance to come up to the mic. So here I am. Okay, so I will say this, and it being from the North Side and diehard North Side, we used to hear a lot, oh, well, I don't want to go across the track. Well, I never like to come across the track to come to the library. Now I won't have to go across the track to go to the library. It'll be nice. But what I really wanted to say was, beyond the books and the brick and mortar stuff, just a few things that have probably been brought up at one time, but this probably and will obviously be the culmination of this project to go forward. This meeting, anyway. I just want to highlight some things that this library will do, especially for those that have never been to a meeting. This particular library is going to be one of the crown jewels, and I'm not saying this braggadociously. It will be a crown jewel because it will be one of the most unique libraries in the system. It will be the library that will look like this audience. It will be extremely diverse. It will be diverse not only in race, but diverse in ages and socioeconomic and also education. And it's connected to so many things that library can be almost as a core with a lot of little spin-offs. It's right adjacent to the nature station. We all have heard that before, but have we thought about that? From the nature station, people can come here. The schools that go on tours at the nature station can tag on a library visit. It can also be a satellite. I'm talking big picture here. A satellite for the Lafayette Welcome Center. It's right off I-10, Louisiana Avenue, straight to the university. Bam. All of a sudden, in that library, with the design that's been proposed and the comments that, with all the ideas that are around, it will subliminally make reading cool and making the library a cool place to be. It will be an anchor. And it won't just be an anchor for children. It'll be an anchor for the adults in that community, too, because we all know Lafayette lacks for I hate to say it, but free rental space. But it's the truth. Reading book clubs and also meeting spaces. And for some of the elder people that don't have their families anymore, it'll be a great place for them to get together. It will be used in ways that many libraries aren't used and in so many other ways. It's going to rock and roll. That's what I want.
Pablo Mejia.
Good evening. Pablo Mejia, Lafayette resident. I'm a resident in North Side. I'm a veteran. I don't always agree with this board, but, you know, when I think you guys are doing the right thing, I want to thank you all for it. I want to thank you, Ms. Arsmont, for leading the Northeast Committee and all your work on that. Ms. Rena, for all your work on this library issue. Mr. Moore, for your resolution. And Mr. Kelly, even though he's not here, for presiding over everything. And the rest of the board as well, but I just want to call y'all out specifically. I think that building this library, building the largest option as a Mr. Como said, you know, building for the future is the right thing to do. And as other people have said, I urge you all to vote unanimously for it, to send the message. I mean, you can see the excitement and all the people that are here and the goodwill that brings and advertising for all of the work that you do as volunteers here and that our great system, you know, all of the staff and also you know, make this a win-win-win for everyone that is here. So thank you very much.
Imelda Zenon? No. Melanie Champagne?
Melanie Champagne, Lafayette Parish. I'm a teacher, and I teach gifted students. So at first tonight, I was going to come here and talk to you about thinking and dreaming big, but I don't think I have to, because it looks like a new spirit has moved upon some of the board members, and so that makes me very happy. I cannot tell you how proud I am to see the mayor behind me coming to this library meeting. As a teacher, we get to see the eyes, the mouths, the cries, the laughs of students. And so whenever you see people who are in positions of power that come and support public institutions, I really cannot I can't even explain how happy that makes my heart smile. So I don't have to talk too much about dreaming big, because it seems like that we have some good ideas that have come. Particularly, I want to comment about, well, I was going to talk about a story about beauty. That was what I was going to talk about. Because when you build beautiful things and when you build beautiful buildings, you grow beauty in people, and then you attract beautiful people and beautiful families. And I was going to talk about the increase of the tax base and all of those things, but I think I want to stick with the beauty. Because like Mr. Moore described with the makerspace, I actually teach my students how to 3D model. And so you would imagine, you can't imagine the creativity that comes from students. I teach middle school. And one of my favorite things that I was able to do with my students is that they modeled more accessible and more attractive and just easier and cooler wheelchairs that they modeled, and they got the opportunity to print them using their library. And I want you to think about what benefit that is in just a few years, that we get to see a beautiful library create beauty in people. And that is what defines a good city. A city is known by its public institutions, most particularly their public schooling and their public libraries. And so when people come here and they see the value of what we believe in children and families from birth to the end of their life and the services, that's a place that respects its people. And so I'm very glad to see that there is a new interest in building this library and, well, building a thriving, beautiful library. And so while we're in a new space, I would like to ask that Mr. Judge would add diversity back to the mission statement that he took out.
Consuela Gaines.
Good evening. My name is Consuela Gaines, Lafayette Parish, and I was very honored and excited to sit on the Northeast Library Committee and to be here today as a formerly incarcerated woman who represents currently and formerly incarcerated people. This is history in the making, no doubt. To be a part of making sure that people who come out of incarceration, as I once did, see the value in having a library, because that's where I went when I was looking for my first job. It was librarians who helped me figure out how to use the computer system and to upload my resume and all of that. It was because of the library that I stand before you today. If it weren't for the assistance of the library, I don't know where I would be. And that same thing goals for the Northeast Library. That is an area that has justice impacted individuals, from adults to children, who are going to need to be able to access a library for their resources, where there is help for them to be able to learn a variety of things. I just ask that you support option number one, because it is going to be life-changing. We often hear people talk about crime. No one wants to be in a city that's infested with crime. We all want to be safe. Having this library is going to provide a space that will allow people to dream and create beyond what Lafayette currently has. Make sure that you vote for number one option so that we can see less crime in the Northeast area of Lafayette. And I thank you, Ms. Ella, and all of the library board for this opportunity. Thank you.
Augustine Isidore.
I said I was just going to come. I wasn't going to say anything, but I live on the north side all my life. And I came here, but I always had God in the space. And I hope today that y'all look in your heart and say, this is the right thing to do. We've been deprived long enough. We need this. I work at a school and in the library, and I see the necessity for us to do reading, math, everything that these kids need. So look in your heart. Don't do it for you. Do it for the kids that's now coming up, a senior citizen, that it is a space place. My sister died in September, and I know she would love to see this happen. And she was an advocate for the young kids. And we need this library. Our children need it. Our North Side needs it. Without this, but Jesus always say, there's always a way. And if you keep on fighting, like my parents say, you fight for what you want, and eventually it will come. Thank you.
Ola Prejean.
My name is Ola Prejean, and I'm president of Move the Mindset, a nonprofit grassroots organization committed to promoting racial and social justice. And I'm also a resident of the North Side. I am here once again to add the voice of Move the Mindset to the chorus of voices in support of the Northeast Library, namely option one. As you know, the community engaged in a series of interviews and interactive sessions. The online survey attracted a notable participation of almost 1,200 individuals, including individuals of all ages and all zip codes. And I mention that because at a February 18th Parish Council meeting, Councilman Gilbo said you as a board should make your decision about this library based on the citizens. Well, the citizens have spoken again, again, and again, and the refrain has been consistent. Build the Northeast Library, and of the three options, make it 20,500 square feet. Among the many needs and uses for the library identified, bridging the digital divide has been a top priority. And only that size library meets the standards recommended for adequate technology. I recognize that you need to balance community priorities and financial realities. That's one of your roles. But as you know, at the February 18th council meeting I mentioned, in response to a question from Mayor Boulay, Danny said that there was money in the fund balance which could be transferred to the capital fund. and he repeated that tonight. And he also said that operating costs could be afforded. He mentioned that he and Mr. Angel had come up with a design that would be a good library. But with all due respect, we have not spent this much time and energy over the last several years advocating for a good library. We want the best library of the options available, and we now all know that that is affordable. So we ask you to please listen to citizens, vote for and support the recommendation that Mr. Moore has made. This library will be coming to an area that is seeing growth in housing, retail, and population, but only slowly seeing growth in parish amenities. Our zip code should not relegate us to getting less. And given the support that I hope will be for option one, and when it goes to the parish council, we certainly hope that they will support that as well. And in the event that you don't vote for option one, as the mayor mentioned earlier, I hope the council will see fit to support that size. Thank you.
Jan Skinner.
My name is Jan Skinner. I'm a native and resident of Lafayette. I will be brief and be gone, as a myriad number of very, very good comments have already been made in favor of choosing the largest library. I'd like to echo especially Conrad Como's comment that we want to invest in the future and do it at the best value, which is building the largest facility now. Thank you.
Melanie Brevis.
Melanie Brevis, Lafayette Parish. I just want to echo, I think, pretty much everyone who has gotten up here and spoken already, that I 101,000% support option number one being built for the library. And I also want to add, because so much of the conversation up here seems to be focused around financials, which of course is important, but I think it's also very important to look back in history and realize how we got to this point to begin with. In 2018, one of our three millages failed, and that was largely due to the influence of an outside political operative. In 2019, the library lost $10 million more in funding, and that was largely due to that same political operative, along with a former library board member who used to sit up there. And the rationale for all of that was that the library had tons of money, that it could afford to shed those extra dollars. And then in 2023, the board voted against asking council to roll forward or raise the millage rate. So tell me why, if there was such a financial crisis and it is your job to make sure the library is fiscally sound, why you would try to limit the amount of funds coming into the library. If the library was in such a crisis, why did people think that it could survive on even one less millage? I would like to just use this to remind you guys that when the next millage comes up next year, I hope all of you up there are out in the streets and out in your communities fully supporting that millage, and also working to bring back the first millage that was lost, because there is absolutely no reason why every single part of this parish should not have a fully functioning library. Thank you.
Francesco Crocco.
Good evening. My name is Francesco Crocco, and I'm a Lafayette City resident, community advocate with Move the Mindset, and lifelong educator. I want to thank the board and the library staff for your diligent work on this issue. I know it's not easy, and there's been a lot of time put into this and a lot of attention and research. I also want to thank our mayor president, city and parish council members, and the community for their support of a Northeast library. I am here to speak strongly in support of the motion to build the largest library, option one, as well as Mr. Moore's, I think, wonderful suggestion to include a makerspace to advance 21st century technology and digital literacy skills. I work full-time training faculty to develop those skills at UL, and I can tell you they're scratching their head when it comes to AI, so are our students. They could use all the resources we can provide to help them learn this new technology and survive in the future. The Northeast Library Committee recommended option one, so did the design consultants. Parish leadership supports it, and most of all, the community resoundingly wants it. I believe you can hear that from all of the speakers so far. From what we've heard tonight, we have the budget for option one, but libraries are worth more than the dollars and cents they cost to build and operate. They are invaluable resources for our community. My children have benefited tremendously from the public library system. The library instilled a love of reading in my children, and the makerspace in particular ignited a love of 3D printing and design in my son. These skills will serve them well in the future. Public libraries offer numerous benefits for children's development and education. Some of these benefits, documented advantages, are improved literacy skills, better academic performance, support for school curriculum, enhanced digital literacy skills, expanded vocabulary and language skills, improved critical thinking, development of research skills, community connections, development of cultural awareness, free access to resources and technology they may not otherwise be able to afford, and structured programs that serve as safe, enriching alternatives to paid childcare. Libraries also foster lifelong learning habits and provide safe, supervised environments. We have the funding to build Option 1 and operate it until at least 2034. Let's build Option 1 and bring all of these benefits to the most children we can so they can have a better chance at a brighter future. Thank you.
Ernest Daniels.
My name is Ernest Daniels. I am a 50-year resident of Lafayette, although I was born and raised in New York City. As a child in New York City, both of my parents worked and went to Catholic school, barely getting the money to pay for Catholic school. But I didn't get a chance to go to the library because my father's car was broken, and we just didn't get to the library. But what I would do is I would sit. My grandparents bought, I don't know if you guys remember, World Book Encyclopedia. Way back, that was way back when. You're really not that old. And I would sit and I would read. I would start with the A's and go all the way through the Z's. And it was so fulfilling and made me dream and want to do different things in my life. This is very important, the library, extremely important. But not only is it important to North Lafayette, a black community, it's important to all of you because all of you are Lafayette. You may live on the south side, you may live on the west side, but whatever decisions you make, whether it's the city council, they come from different districts, but they all vote. When it comes to voting for an area, they vote for that area or with that area. And I want to invite those who have not visited the North Side, and there's probably some people there who haven't, is to come to the North Side because the North Side is also you. Even though you don't live there, you vote. You make decisions for that. There's a lot of things that are not good on the North Side, but are improving, but there are a lot of things that can be developed. There's so many beautiful minds on the North Side that deal with mechanics and computers that just need to be awakened. And I want to thank the teachers who are here that do so much to open up those minds. So my choice or my recommendation is option one. If you're in business and not if you're not in business, when you develop a plan of forecasting, you always look to get the best bang for your buck. So getting extra square footage, the 20,000 foot square foot option, is, I think, the way to go and what can be developed with that. Some folks have already mentioned about the north side growth. You got Bucky's coming. I'm not sure where the Trader Joe's is going, or if that's... Yes, that is one of my favorites. But there's so much development, residential development on the north side that that needs to happen. So come visit the north side. We need that library for the children on the north side and for everybody else. And I don't actually love the tone of that thing, whatever it is. Yeah. Right. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You, sir.
Appreciate you.
Thank you,
everything.
Sir.
All right, good.
Judy Daniels.
Good evening. Judy Daniels. That was my other half that just spoke. I'm here not to represent the voice of adults, but I am a resident of Lafayette. I'm with the Women of Wisdom organization, and I'm here to represent the CAFE, that's Community and Family Engagement Group, under the Love Our Schools umbrella. I volunteer at Northside High School, and I have been sent here by the students in the Reading Challenge program at Northside. They consist of 48 students who gave me very clear instructions about what to say to you today. These are 15, 16, and 17, and I think one 18-year-old of 48 who said, tell those people we want to go big or go home. Okay? So this is from our students. They have, and they've been working, thanks to Mary Lib, and thanks for the support of our mayor and others who they've been telling us, you know, figure out what we need to do. How are we going to use this library? How do we justify the spending of this money and the building of that structure? We want to be proud of it. They are so excited since we came up with presented this issue to them and said, you guys need to speak. What do you want to do with the library? How are you going to use it? They have plans, and I'll submit the list. It's more than 3 minutes long, I promise you. But they want to, 2 weeks ago, they welcomed an author, Dr. Ernest Hill, for the first time on the Northside campus. They brought in an author. They are reading. We have a competition going on right now. We started in October with, let's see if we can find a million word reader in October. We have someone at 5 million words at this point, just with encouragement. We started with 15, we have 48. We have people who have never read a book, not even the ones they were supposed to read in class. So we have a lot of excitement. The kids love the competition. They want in on this plan. They said, if you guys have problems hiring people to work the library, there are 8 service organizations who have to put in hours. They will work for free, except 2 said no, they work for money. So please, please support option number 1, or I won't be able to go back to Northside High. So please, thank you so much for the work you've done.
Kara Chance.
Hi, I'm Kara Chance. I'm the manager of North Regional Library in Carencro. North Regional Library is a 12,500 square foot facility serving a population of 12,639 people. Minuscule compared to the population served in Northeast. As I've noted in every monthly report for over a year now, we constantly fight space. We have books on the top shelf, we have books on the bottom shelf, which is not just an aesthetic problem, it's a safety problem for little old ladies who are bending down to get the books on the bottom, for anybody who's stepping up on the stool to try and grab a book from the top. It also makes the shelves top heavy, which is a problem because if library shelves fall, there's a domino effect. Books are heavy. Metal shelves are heavy. When they fall on people, it hurts. We have an overflow in our teen department right now, which means those kids essentially can't find the books. All of our books are too squished together, which makes them much more less likely to be checked out. We have kids all over the place, and we have patrons complaining about the noise because we don't have a large enough space. It's loud. We have one small meeting room that holds 30 people. It's inadequate and we have to use the community center next door for our biggest programs. And that's usually the summer programs for the kids. We can't have more than one program at a time, which affects our programming stats. We met in 2020 over Zoom to discuss expansion. The proposed expansion was going to be 19,675 square feet. Again, that was for a population of 12,639. I firmly believe that libraries are a social good. I believe in the beauty of learning. I think that free and equal access is important. After the discussions about the availability of data and the financial considerations about whether this library should be built, come on, that wasn't 2 minutes.
Three.
It was three.
I was talking to somebody who dabbles in multi-million-dollar real estate deals with a degree in economics. His take on this was that y'all are putting the cart before the horse, as has been mentioned here before. Libraries
are... Carrie, your time is up. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Your time is up. Thank you.
Renee Saunier.
Hi, my name is Renee Saunier. I'm a resident of Lafayette Parish and an avid library user. I grew up in Abbeville, and I remember riding my bike to the library as a kid, and it was just summer spent at the library with my friends. It was safe enough. It was small enough. I could ride there. I would never let my daughter ride her bike to the library here. It's just the roads are too busy, and we don't live that far from the main library. For kids on the north side, that barrier of I-49, it makes it impossible for them to access any of the other libraries. And it needs to be solved, and it will be used. A 20,000 square foot library is what's needed for that area of town, and it will allow for children of all ages to be able to spend time there, to be enriched, to learn, and to have community spaces, which are so, so important. With my young children, the time we spent weekly at the library connected us to so many people, so many other children, so many wonderful librarians who enriched our lives, enriched my children's learning. I connected with other parents in a way that I wouldn't have been able to do anywhere else in town. Kids of all walks and families of all walks of life. And it was a beautiful time when my children were very small. And I want that same thing for all of our residents here in Lafayette, and especially those who have no access on the north side of town, on the northeast side of town, I should say. Nothing is getting cheaper. Just this process alone, the costs have increased, and you know it's just going to continue to happen. So the largest option is building for the future. It's building for people and families and children who have been without such resources for far too long. I want to end by saying and reminding everyone about one of the most important parts of last meeting that I saw, which was the survey results, where the consultant said there had never been a library survey in her experience that had so much response from people under the age of 18. And it was hundreds of people under the age of 18 who were so supportive and excited for this library. And you need to make this decision for those young people who are going to be the future and who are going to be using this the most. Thank you.
End of comments.
End of comments. Thank you all very much for all those comments. Before I call for the vote, I do want to make one comment. I want to publicly acknowledge and thank the public for the decorum and the professional communication that came forth tonight. Please. That would be in stark contrast to the abhorrent, visceral responses that we saw last meeting. And just to further state, please, let's keep the good track record going here. It's something that we can't tolerate because we have to maintain a conducive atmosphere of communication, honor, and respect so we can all do what is best for our community. And so we love the feedback. We love the input. But I do appreciate the decorum. And lastly, I spent some of my formidable years growing up on the North End. And so contrary to some of the claims tonight that there was this new awakening that I had, I would like to clarify that I'm very well aware of some of the needs that many pointed out, and I so appreciated, of some of the challenges that are seen on that side of our community with regards to transportation and others. And Danny can actually validate that prior to last meeting, I had already visited with Danny about this maker space because I already knew that it was a almost hour walk, and you had to come across a very dangerous highway to get to the closest makerspace. I was very aware that there are tens of thousands of young minds that need to be awoken, that need to have the resource available to them to be able to grow and become productive members of society. So that is the nature and the genesis of this motion that we have on the table. And just because it has been quite a while, I'm going to reread it. We do have a second. Just so as there is clarity for the vote that I'm about to call, the motion is as such. I move that the board support the construction of a 20,500-square-foot library with the requested additional warehouse. Furthermore, I propose that a minimum of 1,200 square feet of the additional 3,000 square feet above the standard 17,500-square-foot option be specifically designated for the creation of a makerspace. This makerspace should be designated to rival any makerspace in all of South Louisiana, providing our Northeast Lafayette community with direct access to exceptional resources and opportunities for creativity and innovation, utilizing cutting-edge technology such as artificial intelligence, 3D printers, laser cutters, CNC machines, virtual reality systems, augmented reality tools, robotics kits, electronics prototyping stations, advanced software for design and engineering, and state-of-the-art media production tools. For the record, we do have this motion and a second on the table, so I'm going to call for a vote, and I'm going to go individually by each board member. Ms. Ella?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Rena?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Eric?
Yes.
Mr. Judge?
Yes.
My vote is yes. We do have a unanimous vote, and the motion carries. So I know it's been an extended evening, and we certainly appreciate all our dignitaries that have been patient with our process this evening. Thank you all for your time, effort, and comments. A couple of quick announcements before we close and adjourn with prayer. A reminder that the next library meeting will be Monday, April 21st, 2025. A reminder that personal financial disclosures are due on or before May 15th, 2025. A reminder that yearly ethics training and sexual harassment training must be completed before December 31st. Do we have any closing comments from the public for any other library matters not on this agenda?
Melanie Brevis?
Okay.
Melanie Champagne?
Okay.
End of comments.
Thank you very much. If you would all please stand, we're going to close in prayer. If you would all please bow your head. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together for the betterment of our community. Lord, I thank you for the fruits of your spirit that were exhibited here tonight. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I ask that you continue to guide us, give us wisdom with understanding. Let us ask the right questions. Lord, as we move into the other parts of this process, Lord, help it not to be bogged down, Lord, but let it not be arduous, but let it be expedited to where we can get this library open for that section of town. I ask that you would just be with everyone on their way home. Let everyone have a great, blessed week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We are adjourned.